Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to our program today. We trust the Lord again will bless as we come together around the Word of God. Let's join together in prayer and let us seek His face for His help today. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to again seek Thee in prayer through Christ our Savior. We pray that as we come to consider Thy truth and Thy Word, that help will be given to us. Enlighten the sacred page. We pray that Thy truth and word will indeed come with power to each heart and each soul. Help us as we seek to look into its content, apply Thy truth to each heart. We ask this in our great Savior's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Could you turn to Mark's Gospel and chapter 4? We have here the record of the parable of the sower. We're going to read the first part of the chapter together, beginning at verse 1, speaking here of the Lord Jesus. It says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. and other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. We'll end there at verse 14. We know God will bless the public reading of his own truth and his word to our hearts today. The hymn today is, There is a story sweet to hear. I wish to draw your attention to the verse of Scripture, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. This parable, of course, is recorded in both Matthew and Luke's Gospel, and then, of course, again here in Mark's Gospel, reminding us it's one of the most prominent of the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ told. Good to stop and just explain something. The Lord Jesus is telling individuals here the account of a person going out sowing seed and the different responses in the ground, that is, as the seed is sown. Highway side, you have seed that lands there, and of course, birds of the air are said to have come, taken it up. Likewise, different types of ground, stony ground, ground with not much earth, and then, of course, a very limited response in relation to seeing any growth. And then good ground, where the seed sown produces a harvest, where we are told here it increased, brought forth some 30, 60, some 100. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ tell these parables in general? The words in verse 12 seemed to imply to some that they were told to prevent people from understanding. That is not, however, to understand the sense of that prophetic utterance. The verse, of course, is a quotation from Isaiah. The thought is that the people could not stand the solid truth of Christ given, as it were, in bare form. And therefore it was presented in parables to help accommodate them. But such was the hardness of their heart that they couldn't even understand that. Therefore the disciples come to the Lord and they say to the Lord, explain this parable to us. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14 is beginning to explain what this parable is about. What does he mean when he speaks of a sower sowing seed? Well, in verse 14 he says, the sower soweth the word. And of course, right away then, that gives us the basis upon which this parable may be explained. But I want to just emphasize those words that are found there in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. That's a very fitting emblem and picture, because in Isaiah 55, the word of God itself likens itself to seed. In fact, it says there in verse 10 of Isaiah 55, it is seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And of course, when you think of today, what are we doing? We're coming around the word of God. I'm acting under Christ as a sower. Every believer who goes out with the word of God, seeking to spread it, we do so as a sower. Not sowing our words, not saying what we think the word of God is, but actually sowing the truth of God's word. It is seed to the sower. And of course, if we think of that, what a gospel application there is in that picture, because the word of God reminds us that just as we need to eat, as we need to have food in us in order to keep our body functioning, our soul needs the word of God. In fact, those of old, I think of one Old Testament quotation, one believer saying these words, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. The word of God, we're reminded, is vital to us because we have a soul. We need to know God's word to our heart. The question may be put, well, how may we know the word? Well, here it is. God has given it to us through his truth and his word. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world is the living word among us. And this book is the record then, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're reading it, you're hearing it preached. It is seed to your heart, sown now by us. I trust that that seed will bear fruit, that today you would hear the voice of God to your heart, to your soul. And as this good seed comes to your soul, that it will bear fruit, it will do so when you realize I need to repent of sin. I need to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to call upon Christ to be my Savior. Oh, that today that you would, then this seed will have borne much fruit in your heart and soul. Don't be like those who are like the seed that falls on the highway and the birds of the air come and take the seed away, likened, of course, to Satan removing the word, lest it bear fruit. Those who, through shallowness and weakness, seem to have an ear for the word, but sadly go on to reject it. Don't reject the word. I trust the word today will come to your heart with glorious power, and you will come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good seed. Then also, let's think about the word sower. The sower soweth the word. Think of this man sowing seed. He goes out into his field, and he's sowing the seed into the ground that has been now prepared. in order that he might see a harvest. Likewise, those who go forth with the word of God are likened to this sower, sowing the good seed of God's truth, God's word. It should be noted here what is not important about this man. We don't have the record of a name. We don't have anything about his personality. What is prominent about this man is simple. He is a man going out with seed in his bag or in a basket, and he's sowing seed. And therefore, when we come to the application of this, those who go forth to sow the seed, what's important about them? Not their name, not their personality, but what they're doing. They're sowing the word. They're spreading the word of God. You think of the many individuals there have been in history who have gone out to sow the word. Sometimes it's a great preacher. We think of great men in the past like C.H. Spurgeon, George Whitefield, John Wesley, a host of others who have made an impact for God. What's important about those men? Not their name, but the fact that they sowed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have gone out and they've merely witnessed to an individual, told of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps no one knows their name at all. What's important about them? The fact that they went out and they sowed the good seed of the word. Believer today, if you're listening and you're thinking, what am I in the work of God? Who am I? Well, you're a sower, sowing seed. That's what's important. Some individuals oftentimes find difficulty with a particular personality, even of a believer, and they'll say, well, I don't like that man's name. I don't like that person's personality. But what's important about that person is not their name or personality, but what it is they have to sow, to tell, the word of God. That's what's important. And then, of course, we can think of what is important about this man. That is the seed itself. And you think of this man, he's going out with the seed and he's sowing the word. He's sowing the word. He took the word into his own hands and he went out and sowed good seed. He didn't take the seed of tares, weeds. He took good seed. He wanted to harvest after all. He wanted to feed his family. He wanted to sow that which is good. I think there's a word for us as believers here as we seek to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, what we have is good. It's the good word of God. It's the living word. Don't be afraid of it. How many there are, and they're afraid to even give a simple quotation of Scripture. This is God's truth. It's good seed. In fact, it's powerful seed. This word of God by the Spirit comes to the heart and to the soul, and it produces a new birth. That's how powerful it is. It's good seed. This man, as he goes forth, the picture of the man going forth with the seed, he's going out and he's taking what he knows to be good. He sowed it before and it's produced a harvest. Likewise, as a believer, don't be afraid to tell this word. Don't be afraid to sow it. It's good. And then, of course, you can think of this man. I hinted earlier that he's a man who has sowed before, no doubt. Also, his father before him, no doubt, has sown good seed. And his father's father before that, and generation after generation, have done so. And he knows, therefore, by experience, this is something to be done. This is how you get a harvest. I think there's a word for us who are saved. In terms of our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and our expectation, let us remember, I quoted a few individuals in history, C.H. Spurgeon, George Whitefield, John Wesley, a host of many others, the Puritans. We think going back through history of those who have given their lives in early centuries for the cause of the Lord Jesus because they sowed the seed. I think of the book of Acts itself, where we have literally thousands who are converted, brought to know the Lord Jesus. What were they doing? They were sowing this seed of the Word of God. Don't be afraid of this seed. Let us realize we have good seed. It has tremendous power by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, let us give ourselves to its teaching and to its preaching, and also a word to those who are unconverted. How many today, as it were, balk, stand back, even somewhat aghast, if they hear a word of Scripture? Remember what it is. It's a word from God, a word to the soul. Praise God today. The living Word of God comes to your heart, to your soul, telling you to repent of sin, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. A conversion can take place in your heart and your soul through this word. It's good seed. Remember what's important about it. It's the Word of God. It leads and guides you to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Then let me say a little about the work itself that this man is doing and how he goes about it. If you go back to verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, in telling the parable, said, "Behold, there went out a sower to sow." And then, of course, the explanation of the parable is, "The sower soweth the word." I want you to think of those words, "went out." The seed was not going to be sown if he sat in his house. It wasn't going to be sown if he stayed where he was. No, he had to go out into the field. He rose up, realizing that if there was ever going to be a harvest, he had to sow the seed. This has an important application for believers. The Lord Jesus, giving an illustration here from his life, went through Samaria. He spoke to a woman at the well. That woman was converted. She went back to her city, told others. They then believed and then wanted to come and hear the Lord Jesus. You can read the story in John's Gospel, chapter 4. Tremendous story. Meantime, of course, the disciples come back to the Lord. He had been talking with this woman, and they had been going to get bread. They questioned why the Lord would talk with her, because she was a Samaritan and the Jews had no dealings with such. But the Lord Jesus went on to tell them his thoughts. And he spoke of a harvest. And he said this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white already to harvest." And if you think of that whole account, we then start to read of the men coming out of the city to listen to the Lord Jesus. And read the passage, and you'll discover that many believed. Samaria would have seemed like a barren place spiritually to the disciples. They were just moving through, wanting to get away, no doubt, as quick as they could. But the Lord is saying, there's a harvest here. Impressing upon them the need to get up and reap, work. And let us realize that as we have the Word of God, it is our duty to sow the seed, to be in the business of seeking to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say also, he was putting now facts into operation. That is, as he comes now to this scene of sowing, he realizes, whatever I know, I now must put into practice. As believers, we may know many things about Christ, many things about the Word of God. Well, it's good to put it into practice in the sense that we go out now to sow it. That's our duty as God's people. Then, of course, you can think of how he went about the work. He went into the field, a field. The world, as John Wesley says, is our parish. But we must realize we can only do one thing at a time as individuals. And we've only got one field of labor before us. Believer today, what's your field? What's your place where you can sow gospel seed into? Perhaps it's only a friend, a neighbor, a very limited sphere, but that's your field. Don't try to do a multitude of things. Sow where you are. Speak a word, the word of God, into the heart of some soul, some individual near to you. Remember the task that you have set before you. Remember also, do it with expectation and faith. As I said earlier, this man knew by experience, harvest come. You sow seed and there will be a harvest. Likewise with the word of God. It is seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That is, it produces something. Sow it. Sow it by faith. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, today we urge you, get to Jesus Christ. Come to the Savior. Come to know him. Believe in him. Here's God's word coming to your heart, calling you to repentance. Come now. Come today. Let's bow together in prayer. Our eternal God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the expectation we have that here is good seed. Help us to sow it. Help us, Lord, in our work and in our labor to do it carefully with faith. May souls today hear your voice and word and come to saving faith in Christ. We ask these things in Christ's great name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.